Good afternoon. Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are now discussing Mark 5 and the demon-possessed man. You know, we're going to talk also about the responses. We each have a response. You know, when Jesus comes and speaks with us, we need to have a response, and we want to be the response that Jesus wants us to have. So we're going to talk about the responses and the demon-possessed man and how he responded, and also how the people responded that were there in the region.
So the end of this passage, starting I think around verse 18 to verse 20, it tells us that Jesus gave the demons, the legion, permission to leave the man and to go into the pigs, and they ran off the cliff and went into the water and died. Well, the people taking care of the pigs immediately ran to town to tell the owners what had happened. And as they run into town and tell them, the people come to see what has occurred. And when they show up, they see the demon-possessed man sitting there fully clothed and in his right mind, and they're afraid. And they ask Jesus to leave the region. And Jesus is about to get into his boat, and the man who was demon-possessed goes to Jesus and he begs him if he could go with him. And Jesus says, I want you to go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has shown mercy on you. Mm-hmm. And so the man left and he traveled on to the 10 cities. I think scriptures, different translations will say the Decapolis, mm-hmm. Telling how much Jesus had done for them. And it says all of the people were amazed. We have been examining the first part of what it looks like apart from Jesus, before the authority speaks and casts the demons out. I want us now to look and focus in, because ultimately this is what we need to hold on to. I've been giving you guys for a couple of months now, the definition for hope is the expectation to see the movement of God. And here we see the movement of God in an amazing way. I want you to describe, because we've described what he looked like possessed, what does he look like now that he is healed? Based on what you see, how would you describe this man? You may use references within the passage of scripture, but you could use words that you might use to describe what you see. So how would you describe him now that the possession's gone?
I just thought normal.
Okay.
You know, he looks normal, just like everybody else right now.
Okay. Back in community, back in society.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
We talked about, I think it was last week when we were talking about, you know, clothes being such a big part of culture. He was fully clothed again. So it was kind of like a re-emerging into society. Right. You know, he was one with the people again.
Janelle, as you said that, I was just sitting here thinking, so did he ask somebody, hey, give me some clothes?
Yeah. He had them in the cave, you know, next door.
We don't know where those clothes come from, but the clothes are there. He has clothes. I mean, you know, or did Jesus say, okay, here you go.
Which we know could happen.
Yeah, he could. So, okay, what else? What do you see?
So he regained his dignity with the clothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, good. What else? Anything else that stands out that you could think of?
I think it's really cool that when he comes and asks Jesus to let him go with him, and Jesus says to go home to your family, like, he remains the witness. You know, Jesus has to leave because he's asked to leave, but this man stays and is able to spread the word and testify in place of where Jesus would have been. And he's able to tell all of these people in all of these regions about what Jesus did, even though Jesus left.
I love it. That's beautiful.
He obeyed.
Yeah.
That's good. Jesus, he wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus said, no, stay and tell.
That's good. Isn't it good?
Yeah, it is.
I love it. You know what hits me is, do you remember, I can't remember which week it is, but Janelle said that he was running all night and day, injuring himself, cutting himself, just in torment. He's sitting
calmly,
calm, and in his right mind. Right. He's not running anymore. Mm-hmm. He is able just to sit and be, and makes me think of be still and know that I am God.
That's
Psalm 46:10.
Yes. Yeah, I love that one. He was at peace.
Yeah, that there isn't this frenzy, there isn't this hype, there isn't. It's just he's sitting in his right mind with Jesus and the disciples when the people show up. And that is amazing. Mm-hmm. And that happened to my family as we went. And I started off on the this session, which has been 4 weeks ago, telling the story of my brother coming to know Christ. And so here it is, Memorial Day weekend. And just to show how powerful God was, okay, my parents divorced when we were 6 weeks old. I was a baby. They divorced, separated when I was age. I don't know when the divorce was final, but I was an infant when the separation began. My parents are both remarried and off in their own worlds and everything. But we were Memorial Day weekend, all in the same home, sharing the same food, sitting around, talking, dialoguing, praying. My brother, on Memorial Day, says to our family, sitting there in his right mind, he started asking questions, and as he was asking questions, somebody would say something, and they'd say, well, you know, da-da-da, that, well, that's when Tara, blah, blah, blah. And Tony's like, you went to Australia? You did, and it was like my brother had not been a part of our lives. It was like he missed out on so much because he was so inebriated, even if he was in our presence. He didn't even know what was happening. We were just sitting there watching him in his right mind. And my brother led our family, and we had believers and unbelievers in the room. My parents, who were been divorced for I'm 45 years old, so that's a long time. And Tony says, I'd like for us just to go around the room and let's just share our testimonies. And on Memorial Day, our family sat for several hours.
Wow, that's awesome.
And unbelievers and believers alike, and we shared our stories. And we were amazed to learn things that we did not know about how each other came to know Christ and what God had done in each other's lives. I got to hear my parents. I got to hear how my mom and my dad, even in front of my stepmom, which I love all my parents. I'm very blessed to have four awesome parents. Sharing how it began with my mom and my dad when they were married, and even though they ended up divorced, and how God continued that story on. And, I mean, it was such a gift.
Wow.
Yeah. Sitting there and seeing Tony in his right mind and him hungering to know from his family what he had not known because of 46 years of being disconnected from the family. Yeah. It was amazing. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. It isolated him.
It did. It was. He definitely was a man in isolation, and he is now a man who has been brought back into community, and that's what's happened with this man. He had been in isolation, and now he is back in community. And as they are sitting there dialoguing, I thought, he's been freed. This is what freedom looks like. He's not running.
No.
And he's not shouting. He's not screaming. He's not maniacal. He's not physically injuring himself. He's not injuring those around him. People can be near him because it's now safe to be in his presence. I mean, it's just incredible to see when God gets a hold of. But the other thing that shook me, he's healthy.
Yeah.
It's good to be in the presence of health, isn't it?
Absolutely.
He's healthy. He's healthy of mind. He's healthy of spirit. He's healthy of community, the social interaction. He's a healthy person to be in presence.
I think it's really interesting that he, like, after he becomes re-emerged into society, you know, he's sane again, and he's like, okay, now I have a chance again to be a part of society. And then Jesus gets cast out of society and tells him, no, I want you to stay here and represent me. Like, if there's one thing that could have kept him cast out of society, it would probably be relating with the person that just got cast out of society. Like, it would have been scary for him to proclaim Jesus because he's like, no, that's my last chance to get into society, and relating with you is probably going to ruin that chance. But he does it anyway. He goes and he tells all over, not just in one little community. He shares it to 10 different cities, you know, everywhere he knows probably, and shares Jesus' name with pride, even at risk of what's left of his social standing.
I know we've done this before. Janelle, tell them how old you are.
We have.
19.
Wow. Okay, this is
mature
why Janelle,
this
is the reason why when I prayed, God put on my heart, I was to ask Janelle to be a part of our Cultivating Hearts ministry.
We love you.
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. Janelle, I have tears. I'm like, all I can do not to cry. That's what happens when a 19-year-old is willing to surrender.
Absolutely.
And that we see her able to take the Word of God and interpret it with almost the exact words that I read from commentators about this particular passage. It's beautiful.
And Mama's sitting there very proud.
I'm sitting here proud. Mama and... I am so proud because that's it. This is what we want. We are longing. And so we've had it from an 8-year-old. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've had it from a 19-year-old. And we're not going to give the rest of ours ages.
No, we're not. No. We definitely are. I could be the mother of everybody. Maybe not Norma. But.
You know, I mean, it is ultimately for the sole purpose of bearing witness.
Yes.
How did the townspeople respond to Jesus?
Oh, in fear.
Yeah, in fear.
Yeah, they wanted him to leave.
Would they rather have had the demon-possessed man?
No.
Well, sure.
Well, I think they would.
Faith because the demon-possessed man left him alone.
They left them alone. Yeah. So do you think that they were going to be challenged to face their own aspects of being out of their minds?
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
They were scared.
Because they saw it.
They were going to be confronted with their own mental, social, physical...
Spiritual.
Thank you. I'm like, where are they? The little list that we had. Mm-hmm. They're being confronted with it. Okay, now Janelle, I'm going to tie in what you said. In this region, because Jesus came for the Jews at this point, he would not go into where the Gentiles were to preach, teach, and heal.
Right.
And you've nailed it. If the man who had been demon-possessed left with Jesus, that region would have been robbed of the testimony that could happen in that region. Did you have something? What, Faith?
No one would have told them about Jesus.
That's right. And so it was pretty important that he stay. And so it wasn't that Jesus was rejecting his presence.
Oh, no.
It was Jesus knew that the greater work of bearing witness to what Janelle had just shared with us take place in those 10 cities.
Yeah, and many times when he did that, he would tell them not to go tell. So this is pretty amazing that he wanted them to go tell the Gentile.
It's so interesting, too, to have everything's going to be different and to know that God will obviously know what's needed in that area and that we just got to be obedient to it. So whether it's to keep our mouth shut or to open it, just be obedient to
it.
I don't know. My Bible, the way verse 18 reads, is that the demon-possessed man begged to go with Jesus. Like he had such a longing. Because I think there was such a, probably a tender.
He was so
relationship.
Thankful.
And yeah, so grateful, thankful. So for him to stay and obey, I think that's huge, what Janelle hit. Mm-hmm. But God knew what those people, that whole region, all those regions probably had heard of who he was. And God knew the power of this testimony in those places would be what they needed.
And go ahead.
Oh, and maybe not so much if he carried on with Jesus to where Jesus was going.
Right.
Okay. One, I want to tell you that that word begging is the same Greek word that is the begging of don't torture us. Is that cool?
That's interesting.
So I think it's awesome that you caught on to that, Tanya.
Interesting.
That it is with the same intensity. The exact same word. So
I can feel it.
Because I would want to go to
you. Yes, you would.
Saved me.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It blows. Yeah. That's so the Word of God and so the Spirit of God at work in you that you caught on to that connection. I didn't write it down. My mind's wanting to say it is like Paraclete AO or something like that, but I can't. I didn't write it down in here, and so I don't have it down. But it was the exact same word. And so it was with the same intensity that the demons were begging to not be tortured into the abyss that this man is begging to go along with Jesus. Mm. Now, how amazing is a testimony of a changed life?
Absolutely.
Very important.
Could anybody in those 10 cities deny what happened to this man after casting him out into the tombs?
No, not at all.
His just walking around would have been a great preparation for the people to come to know the Lord. Now, my mind was thinking as Janelle was talking and Tanya was sharing, this really is the preparation for Paul going to the Gentiles. Makes me wonder how that groundwork was laid so that when they did make it into those areas, when they dispersed, that the laying of knowing who Jesus is, mm-hmm. that it just made it that much easier wow. for the people to believe when they went in.
And they hear and see the miracles.
Mm-hmm. 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 Wow. Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
It's like God is so good.
He is so good.
Okay, so we have just like 3 minutes left. I want us to be thinking, what do we learn from this? Seriously, it doesn't do us any good to have this knowledge. We all learned a lot about this, about the demon possession, about the change, the people's reactions, the change of the demon-possessed man. What is our takeaway on this?
Mine is how important my testimony, everybody's testimony is, and that's why we're here. If we're still here, we have a testimony to give.
Okay, all right.
I think it's also our response to Jesus' authority. When we see God's authority present in our lives, we shouldn't respond with immobilizing fear, but fear that leads us to obey him.
Mm-hmm.
We can see his authority, and it should change us and motivate us towards following him with our whole hearts, begging for us to go with him.
Mm. That's good. Tanya?
A couple things, but I think one thing is with the demons, that no matter what, they are under the authority of
right.
Christ. And then the second thing is, we touched on this in the beginning, the whole thing that opened this man to the demons was that his identity in Christ was lost. His identity in God was lost.
That's good.
Yeah, his identity was good. Norma, is there something that you're taking away?
I think the biggest thing is our testimony is every day
to
the people around us. And they're watching,
mm-hmm. yeah, they are.
No matter what we're doing.
Always.
Yeah.
And we just need to be mindful of that so that we live our example every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's good. That's
and we've
good.
Got to remember how he saved us and how thankful and grateful we were at that time. We need to never forget that.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. Faith Marion, if this Bible story that we just talked about, is there something that you've learned that you want to remember? Can you think of something? If you do, would you tap me? We only have about a minute left, and I'll let you share, okay?
Everything.
Everything? You want to get it all down? Yeah. I bet you'll be able to tell it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a challenge. You're going to go home and tell the story to your mom and dad? Yeah? Can you tell them what you learned? Yeah? Thank you. I'm so proud of you. You know, for me, I think it was all about the identity, that the knowing the word and name and character of God. I'm always surprised and shocked. I know it, I know it, I know it, I know it. But to see it even again, once again, with the demon-possessed man, and that the identity was distorted because it was not in obedience to his name. And so that we can still call on his name but not have that obedience. And so making sure that it's the obedient heart to what his name and his word represents. And so for me, and what Jesus has done for us in our behalf, God bless.